Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
On today's episode of the HR Room Podcast, we're going to be discussing the area of employee wellness and what exactly that means in 2021. I'm here with HR Room regular Mary Cullen, Managing Director at Insight HR, and Rachel O'Shea, Head of Employee Experience at Taxback Group, who will be sharing some of the strategies the group has been implementing over the last year. So just to give a bit of context to your role, Rachel, Taxback currently employs around 1,500 employees across 30 countries. So I imagine creating any kind of corporate strategy entails quite a lot of planning. We also consistently see Taxback winning awards for being a great place to work. So I'm dying to know what you guys have been up to. So thanks for joining us, Rachel.
Thank you so much. Well, I suppose before I get into it, thank you, Sarah and Mary, for having me. It's a nice, I suppose, change at the moment from remote working. But look, you said it, 1,500 staff, 30 countries, multiple languages, nationalities, cultures. You know, I think the previous health and wellbeing strategies that would have been rolled out typically are definitely gone out the window. But I think for us, it creates a very exciting opportunity. I think with COVID, you know, of course, we have to mention that at the beginning of the podcast, most people view it as a negative. But for Taxback Group, to look at it very plainly, you know, it's essentially leveled all of our initiatives that we do. And it means that anything we do, we have to do it at a global level. So, you know, our employees, regardless of where they are in the world, whether they, you know, worked remotely previous to the COVID-19 pandemic, they all have a pretty level playing field. So for us, while it's difficult and it can be challenging, you know, it definitely has its benefits as well. I think one of the main things that we've learned to date is that one size doesn't fit all, you know, and I think that's probably one of the biggest mistakes that some organizations do make. You know, they try a blanket strategy. They might Google, you know, best health and wellbeing programs and what do, you know, the big companies do? And they try and kind of make a carbon copy of that. And the reality is it doesn't work. You know, it's not a one size fits all. You have to listen to your staff. You know, there's no point in rolling out, you know, a gym program if your staff have no interest in the gym, you know, and it sounds like common sense. But unfortunately, I do think that is probably one of the biggest mistakes some companies are making. But yeah, you know, one size doesn't fit all. Listen to your employees. For us, that's what we've been trying to do. And I think thanks to the awards, we can see that we're doing it quite well.
Yeah.
You know, I think for us as well, great place to work. A lot of people are familiar with the accreditation, but they probably think it's just this kind of shiny award that we get to, you know, shout about and sing about. But the reality is that that in itself is a hugely beneficial initiative in that we get, you know, anonymous feedback from our staff. And while the feedback relates to everything across the group, I think nowadays health and well-being isn't just about, you know, your health and fitness classes on a Friday, your fresh fruit in the office. I think it is about, you know, how your managers are treating you and what your work-life balance is like. And, you know, having that insight into what our employees think and how they're feeling for us is hugely beneficial. So
definitely. Like, it's definitely a really interesting topic in 2021. Yeah. I mean, I think in the years before the pandemic, there were all these kind of material perks and benefits. Mary, I know we've spoken before about like beer taps and ping pong in the office. Like, I actually did used to work somewhere where there was a beer tap in the office. Now, that was in Denmark. It wasn't in Ireland.
And was it ever used?
It was used that much. We kind of just got beers from the fridge. The thing about having a beer tap in the office is that there's usually beers in the fridge as well. I think we just got beers from the fridge for Friday. But like in 2021, of course, all that has kind of changed. Mary, what elements do you think that a health and wellbeing strategy should cover in this day in this day and age.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. I agree with Rachel in that a one size all approach doesn't fit every organization, because every organization is going to be budgeted differently. It's going to have different resources. It's going to be led by different champions within the business. So I would say any health and wellbeing strategy probably has to have five core elements to it. So you've got your health. So obviously your physical, your safety, your mental health, which of course is really important during the pandemic. You've got your work environment, and that's changed, of course, because now we have blended working, we have some people at work, we've got that kind of mix, and our environments have changed fundamentally in terms of social distancing. Mm-hmm. But you know, we've got your line management, your work demands, and you know, that forms part of any well-being program, autonomy, pay and reward. Then you have things like your organizational values and principles, you know, and that really comes back down to leadership, ethical standards, your diversity within your business, you know, and how you go about promoting those kind of dimensions of good work. So what does good work actually mean? And what's a good work environment? And then you got things like collective and social, your employee voice, which Rachel was just talking about, you know, how do you hear what your staff want? Mm-hmm. How do you know how they're feeling? And you know, that feeds very much back into the kind of positive relationships that they're having at work, with their managers, with the senior management team, with their peers and colleagues. And then, of course, you cannot forget personal growth, you know, career development, emotional relationships that people are having, and that, you know, lifelong development of people's professional skills or skills at work. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a lot there, Sarah. And, yeah, you know, not every organization is going to be able to touch on all of those elements, because we'd need a big budget. And Rachel, I'm sure you're going to agree with me.
Yeah.
HR can have marvelous ideas and, you know, really have loads of things that they can offer in all of those five domains, but we can't get the budget. And, yeah, you know, we can't always get the budget and we can't always get senior management buy-in. So I'd love to hear what you guys are doing in TaxPac in terms of your health and wellbeing strategy and the program.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, I think it's funny you mentioned resources, and I think budget is always the first thing that comes to people's mind. But I think the other side of it is having the people on the ground to actually roll out these initiatives as well. You know, at TaxPac Group, we have our Great Place to Work team. And while, you know, one of their main kind of objectives is to improve the work environment that our staff are in, which also entails, you know, being the voice of the employees, improving benefits, you know, they still have full-time jobs. They're volunteers from across the group. And I think that is one thing that's quite unique to us and I suppose other groups. But we are a group. So we have a number of different companies that are essentially at different stages of their corporate life cycle as well. We've got, you know, companies that are 3 years old, that are cool and fresh. And, you know, they don't have staff that have been there longer than 3 years. So everything is new and exciting. We then have companies that, you know, have been there since the beginning, like taxback.com, where people's tenure tends to be that bit longer as well. So I think that's one thing to look at as well, but definitely the resources, having the people to actually roll it out. Because we are a group, we have a HR business partner for each of the companies in the group. So they tend to kind of lead the initiatives on that end. My role is a group services role. So what that means is I essentially work for every company within the group. So it's very dynamic, but like that, you're trying to juggle, you know, all these different companies and their cultures within and the cultures within the countries. And, you know, so I suppose to chat a bit about Taxback Group's health and wellbeing programme. It's called Group Life, so a bit of a play on the word group. Mm-hmm. And it does have three core pillars. And it's interesting when you spoke about the five key elements. We, I suppose, squeeze them into three. So we've got mind, body and work-life balance. And I think the key to having those three pillars is that as things change, as they have in the last year so drastically, we can kind of alter our strategy very, very easily to meet the, you know, the requirements and the needs of our staff. So, for example, mind. That previously, you know, when we were in the office pre-COVID, you know, we might have had wellness kind of seminars. We had a mental health talk from Brezzy a couple of years ago, which was absolutely amazing. It was genuinely one of the best speeches I've ever gone to in my life.
A lot of good feedback from that. Yeah,
do you know, when it was all about that kind of gratitude and manifestation and just, I suppose, owning what you do, but being grateful. And, you know, I won't get into it. I could talk about that for the whole podcast. But, you know, so that was what we had done, say, I think about 18 months ago. But now that mind piece is so different. When you look at last year, you know, and how uncertain everything was, and I'm so fed up with that word, but it is probably the best word to describe it. You know, that mind pillar for us fell so much more into security. And while previously I don't think people would have considered that an element of a health and wellbeing strategy, I don't think any employee in the world, if they didn't have that security in their job, in the fact that their employer was doing the best that they could to keep them safe, then their well-being probably wasn't all that good throughout the pandemic. So I think that's the thing for us. The, you know, the three pillars does allow us to kind of alter what we do as we need to do it. So, you know, body, again, we view it as, you know, the health and fitness kind of initiatives. And again, to come back to that one size fits all, I remember back in, I think, April last year. So we'd been working from home for probably about 6 weeks. And, you know, some of the feedback we got from staff was they'd love fitness classes. They'd love them. You know, yeah, we'd love to take part. So we got a local PT in Kilkenny. You know, he did a class a day for a week. We said we'd trial it. And it wasn't live. It was recorded because we said, oh, at least people can, you know, do it in their own time. And the uptake wasn't great, but the problem was because we posted it as a video on our internal comms platform, it was very difficult to actually measure the uptake on it. So that was something that we kind of went, oh, do people like this? Are they using it? Whereas what we've done this year is we've actually partnered with Leia Healthcare, who are our healthcare provider, and we've got a series of classes every month. So it's done on a 3-month program, but we have it for the next 6 months and, you know, we'll obviously extend it if needs be. But these are live classes that include everything. You've got Pilates, mindfulness, if you're not so interested in the, you know, physical workout, there's energizers, different things like that. So, you know, I think being aware of, okay, if you're meeting that feedback that your staff have given, but are you actually giving them what they want is such a huge thing for us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and obviously, look, work-life balance, I think, is fairly self-explanatory. You know, for us, previously, we would have been quite an old-fashioned company. We didn't offer flexi time. We didn't offer remote working. So when the pandemic hit, you know, we were quite lucky and we're quite proud of the fact that we made the call very early on to move to remote working. But it was very new to us. It was very, very new. And, you know, I think we've learned so much in the last year. And for us, we've actually rolled out a flexible working policy. So when things go back to normal, whatever that will be, whenever that will
whenever,
be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like Shakira at this stage, whenever, wherever. But, you know, we do have that option for staff. We will never have 100% of our workforce back in the office. You know, this time, well, not even this time last year, but say kind of May last year, it was like, when will we be back? You know, I think that question has kind of dissolved into the abyss because people are starting to realize it's never going to be the same. And I think while there will probably be negatives, I think everyone's going to be a bit socially awkward, if anything, for the first couple of weeks.
100%.
You know, I think the positives that we're taking is everyone's become so much more human. And the impact that that has had on health and well-being for us anyway, have been huge. You know, it really, really has.
Yeah, I think the key takeaway from this whole working from home thing has been the flexibility, hasn't it? I mean, I love working from home. I kind of have done it before as well. So maybe that played a little bit of a part because I was kind of used to it. I don't know, but I love working from home. I love being able to just get my head down and get on with things. And I think if you're working for a company that still values the social aspect and still makes sure that there's time for you and your team to, like, you know, have a chat for an hour every Monday or something, like what we do in Insight HR, like, I think that that can really, really it'll help you see a lot of the benefits of working from home. But then there's people that really don't enjoy working from home at all. They're just extroverted personalities and they get their energy from other people. So I think that finding that kind of balance is really key. Like, you're not going to be able to say, right, everyone's going to work from home forever or everyone's going to go back to the office forever. Like, there has to be, like, from that employee's own point of view as to what works best for them. And that's how we're going to get, like, yeah, the most productive and the most efficient workforce.
And I think for us, it's something that our staff have wanted for years. And while we didn't ask to be in this position, you know, it will have its positives. But I think at the moment, it's like, I previously would have worked from home, you know, the odd day. If I had a project to get done and I needed to just, you know, coop myself in a corner and try and knock it out. But, you know, I think the other side of it is, you could have someone that loves working from home typically, but they're now trying to work from home with their kids, with their dogs. Oh, you know, I know I mentioned before we hit record that I've got my dogs locked out the back so they didn't make a guest appearance. But, you know, and I think for us, one of the big things I believe anyway, is that I don't feel in 5 years' time we're going to be talking about health and wellbeing strategies and programs, to be completely honest, because I feel like the lines have become so blurred. You know, previously it was so obvious what fell into that health and wellbeing program. It was, you know, your fresh fruit, your healthy dinners and da-da-da-da-da. Whereas I think now the demand for every organization to, you know, to put so much into having an optimal health and wellbeing strategy means that it's just becoming ingrained into companies' cultures. And, you know, it's nearly the lifeline of what they do. And we've noticed that. We've noticed it from a recruitment perspective, you know, when people are interviewing and they're at that interview stage, they don't even know if they've had the job yet or they've got the job yet. And they're already asking those questions, you know, well, what do you do? And even in the last couple of weeks, like, today is a very exciting day, as we basically have sent out kind of little care packs to employees for Valentine's Day.
Did I see a little fajita meal pack or something like that.
So obviously, look, we did, it's something we organise locally, but in Ireland we had the Bougain meal kit and we have it here, little cookies that say we'd crumble without employees like you. And, you know, we've done kind of different things globally. So we've got, like, cookies and Hong Kong, we've got donuts in Peru, and, you know, whatever we could do in the different locations. But again, just to bring it back, like, before, something like that would never have been viewed as health and well-being. You know, it's a treat for staff. Is it a benefit? Is it just a little pick-me-up? But I think now, in the times that we're in, it's those little things that kind of test the waters a bit. It's like, is it health and well-being? Well, okay, it's a healthy meal, fair enough, it's lovely Mexican fajitas that I can't wait to eat. But the other side of it is, it's that emotional piece. You know, I've gotten so many messages off staff that are like, oh my god, this was such a nice surprise. And even the little message on the cookie, you know. And I think these are things now that are so connected to the mental health piece, which, you know, I think everything now is just so, so interlinked. So, you know, I just wonder, I know it's probably a bold statement to make, but I do think the lines are becoming so, so blurred as to what actually comes with a health and wellbeing strategy. And I think, you know, in a nutshell, it's just about looking after your staff.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that about the meal kits, because yesterday a little package came through the door here as well. And it was so lovely because I wasn't expecting it at all. And I opened it up and it was a couple of bars of like handmade chocolate from Insight HR. Like, and do you know, because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
And because I was on a diet, I'm not sure. I have to say, both bars are gone now. My diet is totally ruined. I'm not sure how much it's helped my mental well-being from this side of it. But it was just such a nice, like,
it put such a big smile on my face for a while, and it just made me feel a little bit, as I'm doing my work, as I'm like munching my chocolate. But I think that like senior leaders, for instance, Mary, they take such a big role, they play such a big role in like sort of leading by example, and that. What would be your opinion on kind of how senior leaders can kind of lead by example, I suppose?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really interesting to hear Rachel's views on whether or not health and well-being strategy will be talked about in 5 years' time. I happen to be one of the people that is not a lover of home working. You know, it doesn't suit my personality to be locked away in a hermit-like fashion, because I do get my energy from meeting people and the variety that comes with consulting and life and all of that. So as a senior leader, I think you do have a responsibility, irrespective of how you're feeling yourself about working from home or the changes that are there in work, to ensure that your team are well, mentally well in particular in these kind of times, and engaged, and that you understand how they're feeling and where they're at life at the moment. And while a lot of our, you know, health and wellbeing items within our programs, like your gym or your on-site, whatever you want to eat, kind of white egg omelets, and you know, those kind of things are now gone. Our fruit bowls are gone, our beer tabs are gone, our ping pong tables, our foosballs, our ice cream machines, all of these marvelous initiatives that lots of corporate companies have, you know, bragged about in social media and all of that. And now we're back to, you know, are people coping in their home? You know, are there situations that their staff are involved in, like domestic violence? Are people coping with the childcare demands? And does work combined with childcare and dogs and pets and all that goes with home, is that putting excessive pressure on people? You know, how connected are they? How connected are the senior team with the employee body? Because it's quite easy to sit at home and do your work and not really engage with anyone if you want to. So there is a role, I think, for the senior leaders to, you know, be very much at the forefront of health and wellbeing initiatives. I don't know if you'd agree with me, Rachel, on that front.
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. Like, even some of the smaller initiatives that we've done, you see it straight away. And I should have probably mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, but we have a fantastic internal comms platform called WorkVivo. It has honestly been our lifeline over the last couple of months. It's like an internal kind of Facebook / social media. And, you know, it means that staff can share updates and post pictures and videos. So from our point of view, it makes the actual content and things people are talking about quite interesting. But just to give you an example, last year there was a bit of a keepy uppy challenge going on all around the world, but it basically hit WorkVivo. And you know, there was one staff member posted it and was just basically just a feck it, let's have a bit of fun. And while it took off, it was when the CEO started getting involved that you could just see people, like we'd Rory Kelleher in Amidas was one of the first. Shane Lowry, actually the Amidas brand ambassador, took part as well, which was fantastic. Like Catherine Quirk, the CEO of Taxback International, she actually like knocked her phone off the chair when she was recording. She kicked it with the ball. And, you know, it was just such a feel good piece to physically see the senior management, you know, buying in and physically taking part. And, you know, I think something like that is physically and mentally more demanding, especially, you know, if you're smashing your phone. But, you know, I think, yeah. And I, you know what, I think it's, I don't know if it's an Irish thing, and I'm still trying to kind of figure this out across the different cultures in which we operate. But while we always speak about, you know, work hard, play hard, and we certainly do a Taxback group, and I think the playing is what people miss the most. It's, you know, the nights out, you know, Christmas jumper night, summer party. Yeah. But to bring that back, I think as humans in our work environment, we always have this kind of level of panic where when we're taking part in something, if it's too fun, it's like, oh, but I'm meant to be working. And I think in this remote environment that we're in, it can be quite difficult for staff where if they don't see that senior management buy-in, they're kind of nearly doubting themselves. They're like, oh, this is way too fun. Can I do this? And, you know, so I think from that point of view, definitely the senior management participation is huge. But I think equally, you know, involving your employees where possible is as important as that senior management piece. You know, little things like we have our health and wellbeing week the week after next. Sorry, I'm trying to think of what day it is. It all blends into one now. But
what year is it again?
Yeah, but I don't even know. I'm after saying 2020 about 50 times in the last week. But you know, we've our health and wellbeing week, the last week of February. Usually it's quite a big calendar event of the year. We run events globally in our offices usually, and you know, at the moment, you know, we're just finalizing our schedule, but again, we've gone with that kind of employee involvement piece. We've put a call out for a recipe book, which we did the first one last year. Last year the uptake was good, but it's something that we kind of are predicting the uptake will be much higher this year, because again, staff are kind of looking for that option to get involved in things, and you know, they're working from home, so it's as easy as just, oh, let's have something different for dinner. But, you know, I think definitely it goes hand in hand. You know, if you just have your senior management, you know, chatting about how they're involved, it can kind of go the other way a little bit as well. But I think if you balance out that piece, you know, listen to and involve your employees and make sure your senior management team are leading by example, because otherwise you probably will have that reluctance from your employees to get involved. And it's human nature.
Absolutely. I love that, listening to your employees. It's so important, and especially in this year, these post, would you call it post pandemic? It's not post pandemic yet, is it? It's still very, very current, isn't it?
Not going like anywhere anytime soon, and neither are we.
No, that is a fact. Guys, I think that's about all we have time for. I could actually sit here and chat all day. But yeah, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there. So thanks so much for all the great tips and advice. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
Thank you, Mary.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you, Rachel.
Thanks a million, Mary.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.